Rambam in Jirgim Likrim, he talks about Mashiach. So the 12th Iker is Yemosa Mashiach Shlahamin Ulaame Shiyavo. He has to believe that Mashiach is going to come. Below Yachshav Shiyach Isachar, don't think that he's going to come late. He'll come at the right time. Fine. You have to believe that he's going to have a yisrin and mila v'kavod. He's going to be greater, have unique characteristics and honor greater than all malachim which were ever existed. One who's doubtful about him. Or if he believes in Mashiach, but he doesn't have this emuna that Mashiach is going to be in some way greater than everybody else, nismayet etzloy malosoy, kofar b'tera, shiyod b'tera b'feresh b'parshas bilam, u'b'parshas atem nitzofim. He's a kofar. So a person believes in Mashiach, but doesn't see his Mashiach as being something which is unique in the annals of history. He doesn't understand that Mashiach is going to be something way beyond the beyond everything which was before that. Doesn't get it. He's kafir b'tahara. So that's quite a statement. So in talking about that idea, thinking about that idea, Ramesh Shapiro in his Sefer on the Yugdim Alikrim talks about Bechlal. We have to understand the relationship of what is Malchus, what exactly is Malchus, what role does it play for us, and what is the role of Melech Mashiach, and why does it have to be unique. So let's go back to the Egel. Look at the Egel, Shiva Subatamas. Kizem Mashiach Ish. So we're Americans, we believe in independence. So we would have said, okay, there's no Moshe. So we declare freedom from the King of England, right? And that's it. Why do you need there has to be something instead. So there's nothing. So you could say, because Pasha, they felt they needed something, which should lead them, you know, they Pasha, they needed a guide, they needed a tour guide, and they weren't exactly sure how to get through the Midbar, and they figured that probably a Getchka would be the best way of doing it. So they said, let's make a Getchka. That's not Mistar, but that's exactly what it was always. It was just a glimpse of a tour guide. They needed something, says there seems to be an intrinsic desire to be part of something which has a direction, part of something which has a leader, part of something which has it represents something. There's a need for Malchus. Russian says that we're going to, whenever there's going to be any product which is brought to Klal Yisrael, it's going to have an element of Chet Egel in it. In the punishment, we have to assume if it's going to have an element of Chet Egel in the punishment, it's going to have an element of Chet Egel in the Aveira. Rabbi Chanan in the Kibbutz Memorim, there's a piece called Ikvos of the Mashiach. It was originally printed in Yiddish, translated from the Yiddish into the Hebrew. Actually, the new Kibbutz Memorim, they have the full piece, and the original Kibbutz Memorim, they left out part of it. It goes from Ois Ches to Ois Lamed Ches, so you have to figure that there's something, they skip something in the middle. And the new ones, they went back to the Yiddish and put it all in. You see what he's railing against, you may understand maybe why, when they printed it, where they printed it, maybe why they left it out. He talks about the fact that there's Avodah Zarah in the world. What is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is something which we believe has a power. Avodah Zarah is something which we believe has a power to give us what our needs are. So, the classical Avodah Zarah was Avodah Zarah. You had a Getchka. He says, in the last 150 years, he's writing this in 1939, in the last 150 years, there's been other Avodah Zarahs. The people came along and believed that the Enlightenment was going to give them the challenge of the Jews through the history, the issues that they dealt with. If we have this Enlightenment and we become reformed, we become more, we become a Jew in our home and a man of the society in the streets, we will solve all the problems. That's an Avodah Zarah, Rav Chanan writes. Nationalism. He refers to as nationalism. Is a form of that's going to solve the problems. If we have our own nation, we have our own country, and we're like all the other nations, and we're exactly like them, that'll solve the problem. Socialism. How many Jews, he says, there's the amount of karbonis which were brought on the mizbeach of socialism. Socialism and communism. The amount of Jews who gave up their lives, committed their lives to socialism to be one day just wiped off the face of the map. He does say a very scary thing. He says, if you look at the two of the Avodah Zarahs that Klal Yisrael committed to tremendously were nationalism and socialism. And the Russians created a nationalism-socialism monster to take revenge on them. That's what Nazi stands for, is National Socialist Party. Haloi Dovrhu, he writes that. I don't know, it's a scary thought. Pasuk says in Yeshaya, he says, V'halilim Khalil Yachaloifun. All of the Alilim will be totally destroyed, totally removed. He says that Alilim is not referring to Avodah Zarah, it's referring to this type of Avodah Zarah. Kleisel will come to recognition at some point in their life that socialism is not going to bring the utopia that it's supposed to bring. Kleisel will come to recognition at some point in their life that nationalism is not going to bring the utopia that it was supposed to bring. It's not going to solve the problems. Kleisel will come to recognize at some point in their history that democracy is not going to bring what it's the promises that it's supposed that it's to solve the problems. They all have to be destroyed. He says that the psukim in Yechezkel continue. And they talk about that Klal Yisrael came along and says, we want to be like the Goyim. Nia kegoyim kemishpachas harotzos. We want to be like the nations of the world, that we should also have this to serve this Avodah Zarah. And the Burnish says that ruchachem halo loyiyah, that which you're thinking about will not happen. He says the Bereshit first sends a Yad Chazaka. He sends some type of a punishment. Then he sends a Zeroy Natuya, which is even more powerful. And then eventually he sends a Chema Shvucha Emlech Aleichem to show you, make you understand that very clearly, that's not going to be the solutions of the problems. He says, who knows? We're standing right now at the moment of Chema Shvucha. This is what he's writing in 1939. We're standing before the war broke out. We're standing in the moment of not Yad Chazaka and not Zeroy Natuya, but Chema Shvucha. Malchus, by the fact that it's not Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's limited in its scope. I have to tell you, I've been having a lot of thoughts lately about the future of democracy, specifically of America. I think Western Europe went down. We're ready. I don't have to think about it anywhere. I know what the future is. And one of the conversations which takes place in America, the one of the brachas of America was the anti-establishment clause, separation of church and state. Tremendous bracha for Klal Yisrael. It's not a nation which is committed to any type of religion, so you can practice any religion that you want, and it's protected by the government. Quite a unique thing. When it was created by the founders of America, it was quite a chiddush. Every state had a state religion, and there's no state religion. And now there's this tremendous debate in the wake of the recent events that was happening in America. Did the founding fathers really mean that it should not be a religious nation? And some, of course, they did. Obviously, they were all religious and said, no, we know that they were questions. And they bring proofs back and forth, and the whole thing is a waste of time. The founding fathers, when they started this nation, they didn't understand the future. They didn't understand that there's going to come a point in time there's going to be something called secularism. They didn't live in a world that was such an option. Even the people who were, quote-unquote, of the Enlightenment, the cultural Enlightenment, they were not quite, were believers. Because by definition, a Malchus cannot, of mankind, cannot address every single situation. It cannot, it does not know the future, it does not know what it's going to be, and there's no way it's going to address it. Socialism was a tremendous idea. To take this idea of we're going to make sure that nobody should be impoverished, everybody should take advantage of the wealth which is there. It's such a gewaldic idea. What could be wrong with it? How could it go wrong? Right? It's a great experiment. That experiment killed more human beings than the history of mankind than any other thing was ever killed. It's a great experiment. What could go wrong with it? Well, you forgot about the fact that there's Yetzer Hara, the people enjoy power, and you're going to put, the only way you're going to create this movement is by using power. And once you're using power, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. A little detail that they forgot. It wasn't that it wasn't good, there wasn't elements which were good about it, but it can't work. So, Rav Chanan says that it has to be that they're going to end. It has to be that they're going to self-destruct. It has to be that they're going to the flaw which is there, which human beings cannot address because they don't know how to address it because they're human beings. And all it is a human creation which is limited, has to self-destruct. And you're writing this in 1939 until you got to 1989. The communism, starts falling apart. Like a lot of years, but it has to be that it's going to self-destruct. There's an experiment called nationalism, Jewish nationalism, also referred to as Zionism, which, as Rabbi Chanan says, that they believe in mitzvahs. We have to learn Torah, so they believe in a cheder. They create a cheder, but they teach kfir in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's the cheder that they have. They believe in mitzvahs, that you have to go build the land. And only if you're healthy, you can have a right to be part of that mitzvah. And if you're old and infirm, you should die. They believe in mitzvahs. They believe in tefillahs. They have songs that they sing. They created a dream that they're going to solve the problem of the Jews. Now, excuse me for being somewhat skeptical, but we live in a world which I'm not convinced that we've solved the problem of the Jews by having our own state in the land of Israel. It was a great experiment. And where it's going to end, I do not know. Because the same way the founding fathers of America cannot predict the secular revolution and the liberalism which is now coming to act and place, taking advantage of separation of church and state in a way which they never dreamt. I cannot dream what is going to, how the Russian plays what he wants to do with the world. But the world as we see it is in many ways is so unified against the Jews and against Israel, it is mind-boggling. That's the result, my friends, of Avodah Zarah, of Malchus. That the Jews who put their belief in reform, the Jews who put their belief in socialism, the Jews who put their belief in nationalism, the Jews who put their belief in liberalism, the Jews who put their belief in democracy, all these different forms of they're going to solve the world's problems. This is the Avodah Zarah that we believed in. Pekard, Uyem Pakti, Pekadati, we still have that Avodah Zarah. We want to be belong to something which is bigger than ourselves. That's going to be what's going to solve the problems. It's going to give us, we're part of something greater, that's our Malchus. And there's only one Malchus which is perfect and addresses every single detail. How do you find the balance between protecting the rights of each individual and in protecting the rights of the states. A Kadosh Baruch Hu can do that. That's the Malchus of Mashiach. Malchus of Mashiach will be perfect because it has the perfect balance which only Kadosh Baruch Hu can give to the Bria. That's the Munah. And if you don't understand that the Baruch Hu created the world for the goal, for one point in time, there's going to be a time where there will be that perfect balance. And the Baruch Hu will have the world functioning in the way it's supposed to function. And if you're nismayit, you believe in Mashiach will come, but you're nismayit migdulasa. You don't understand that there's a possibility of such a malchus. You don't get the whole purpose. The way I see it, whether it's right or wrong, at least the way it could be, the Bershon for the belt, Adam for Mashiach, which happened before this happens. There was a decision which retroactively, I don't know what I was thinking about. We should have made Yom Tinus on the day of this decision, and should Adam to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a decision which I believe is in many ways changing the whole playing field of the United States of America. I mentioned before the Gemara in Chulin talks about the Schus Kima Vanuma, Niskadein Kaisim Ksuba Lazacher. I'm not talking about that. That's something to think about, right? There was an article by a religious, non-Jewish religious person, which came out the day after this decision of the Supreme Court. How he wrote that we have lived in this country for many, many years feeling that we are the ones who are at home here. We have to recognize from this point onwards we are no longer at home here. We will be considered bigots. We will be considered racist. We will be challenged in our beliefs. If I'm a caterer and I do not want to cater a certain type of events, I will be sued in court. I will be denigrated in the media. I will lose my job. I will lose my pranosa. If I'm a religious institution and I discriminate because now it's considered discrimination against a certain individual, they will close my institution or they will take away my religious, my tax exempt status so I can no longer get donations and I will have no financial base. And believe you me, that the liberalists who are behind this are not going to wait for this to happen organically. They're going to foment an opportunity for that. And they're going to apply for a job in a religious institution. And they're going to be denied. And they're going to take it to court. And it will go all the way to the court and they will win. And then they will use that to destroy every single religious institution in this country. It will be, they are out to get blood. And it is a new form of persecution. If you want to get up and stand up for what your beliefs are, so you sit in the enclave of the yeshiva, it's very nice, you know, you can, you know, get up here and say these things very publicly, and everybody, you say it out there, you're a bigot, you're discriminating. This is the equivalent, according to at this point in time, as racial discrimination. If I refuse that, the same way I'm refusing somebody based on their color. Every yeshiva has to make a declaration. If they want to get government funding, they do not discriminate by the race, by the virtue of race, religion, color, etc. They're going to have to add one more, which they cannot add. The foundation of the Torah institutions of this country is in danger financially. The commitment that we have, that we've been zeicha to have, to be able to see the growth of Torah in this country is in danger. The Mesiris Nefesh, which is required for a person to be able to Mekayim Torah and Mitzvahs, is going to go way beyond what it was until this time in this country. This country has failed. The people who thought democracy is going to be that solution to solve the world's problems, this is the moment, it has failed. The same way the Jews were persecuted in Europe, and they had to have tremendous commitment to Yiddishkeit to be able to maintain themselves. we're going to, the Russian is going to give us a brand new opportunity to do it in a totally different way. They're not going to attack us physically, but they're going to attack us in many other ways. And we're going to show our commitment and our belief in the Kadosh Baruch Hu through a whole new system which never existed before. It's a mind-boggling thing how the Russian was able to do this. And the way Rav Chanan is saying it, the reason why this is happening is because we believed in it. We didn't believe in that the only source of reality, of true geula, is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not Zionism, not nationalism, not democracy, not liberalism, not reform, nothing. And we, the Frum people, yeah, America's great. And we have turned us to America, what America has allowed us to accomplish. And what they, and that which was the source of the help is now the source of the destruction. And that's the godless of the hearing, the Bershom's way of showing you how limited human beings are. That which can be the biggest Yeshua is the biggest destruction. It's just like you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha. You can't dream that there's going to be a system which is going to be perfect, because it won't. And what's the best part of it is the worst part of it. Separation of church and state is the worst part of it now. That's the whole reason why terror flourished in America. And now that's used against us. Mashiach takes the nekuda that every single element of toiv has elements of ra in it. We live in a world of toiv and ra. Eitz hadas toiv and ra. And it creates a world where it's not the world of toiv and ra. It's the world of emes and sheker. And emes is emes, and emes is perfect. And there's a perfect emes. And we have the perfect emes right now, which we don't know always how to apply it, and that's called Torah. So, moving forward, our commitment to learning, our commitment to Torah mitzvahs has to be doubled, has to be increased, the commitment has to change. You understand that we're living in a world which has gone crazy. And the only way we're going to have clarity is by learning and learning and learning, and by doing mitzvahs and by doing mitzvahs. And not letting the cheshbonos of the society sway us and define us. And meanwhile, while this is all happening, we have our government grappling with this tremendous question of what to do with the dangers of the Middle East. And lo aleinu, we have the pasuk ha'ela ruchachem ha'yoy lo yiyya kim loy b'yod chazaka u'bezroi natuya u'bechem ha'shucha emlech aleichem. Rabbi Chanan wrote that in 1939, and we saw what the chem ha'shucha was. Pasha, we're generations removed, and we don't know what the... But the people who saw it, and what we read about it, and what we heard about it, we had a little bit of a musik what the word chema shulcha means. So we see the destruction of our avodah zorah, of our malchus on one side, and we see that avodah zorah and that malchus working on creating the Chema Shulcha against us. And that's our introduction to the 3 weeks we're going to say. 3 weeks of tshuva, 3 weeks of introspection, 3 weeks And I have this aura. Churban is Tisha B'Av. Shlita of the Umas Ha'Olam on Klal Yisrael is Shivas B'Talmus. That the other Malchus, the Malchus of Bnei Adam, took over the direction for Klal Yisrael, happened on the day of Chet Ha'Egel, when Klal Yisrael agreed that there's another way to figure things out. On that day of Yom Pakti Pakadati, that's when the Umas Ha'Olam were able to with Tibok Ha'ir and take control of Eretz Yisrael, of Yerushalayim. Churban happens later. Churban has to do with Meragel. Shlit of the Umas Ha'Olam and Klal Yisrael, that's Chet Ha'Egel. That there's another way to do something, and they have a right to direct Klal Yisrael. And they, their Malchus should be on us, a Malchus on Klal Yisrael, which we rep in the Malchus of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, we didn't. We chose wrong. I'm not a Dershi Rishumas. I do have to tell you that sometimes, you know, the fact that the celebration of the independence of the United States of America comes together with Shivas B'Tamuz this year is not a fact which is lost on me. And it's your mom is, it's like, if it wouldn't be scary, it'd be fascinating. To see the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming together, the different pratim. But Rabbi say it's scary. We saw what Chem HaShulcha meant before, and we should be zeichah, we shouldn't see Chem HaShulcha again. We should be zeichah that the clarity of Mashiach should come before that. But until that happens, the davening should happen. And one of the, part of the tufa of the 3 weeks is a tufa where there should be tremendous focus and bakasha and tefillas for Mashiach, for Malchus Hashemayim, and davening and benching. It's standing on the street corner, waiting for the bus. If you're waiting for the bus already, you might as well wait for Mashiach. If you just wait for the bus, you're waiting a line by the store. You're waiting? Wait for Mashiach already. We wait in line for a lot of things. We wait in line for that instead. The focus should be a tremendous focus of understanding that we need that clarity, that the world is so verkrumpt. The world is so. Again, I'm not predicting anything. The person can do whatever he wants to change the world. I just happen to show you one thought. The Hashkocha of Kadosh Baruch Hu, one prat, just. I just read it. You see how the Bereshit Mamash, the chess master. The Bereshit could do anything. The Bereshit could decide that all of a sudden, you know, he wants to take some country in the middle of, you know, Africa and blow it up, and then everybody gets so focused on that and forget about the. I don't know. The Bereshit could do anything he wants. I was just reading one. In the beginning of the World War II. So the Germans made their pact with Russia, so they didn't have to fight on that side. They went around the Maginot Line, which prevented any attack into France, and they overran France in a period of 3 weeks. The only thing they had to have there was England. So how do you deal with England? They attack. I mean, you first have to get rid of the Air Force. So they started attacking the Air Force. And they're under strict orders not to bomb any civilian areas because that would create such a reaction. We don't know what's going to happen. And they stuck to that for a few weeks. By Hiyayim, one night, one of the pilots, of the German pilots, got lost. He dropped his bombs on London. That was the end of the war, I would say. What happens? England was very upset. They bombed Berlin. Hitler was so upset they bombed Berlin. He said, bomb London. They bombed London for 57 days straight. During the 57 days straight that they bombed London, they did not bomb the airfields of the Royal Air Force. The Royal Air Force rebuilt itself and created a machine which was able to, meanwhile, get support from America and have the wherewithal to fight the Germans for the rest of the country, the rest of the war. Otherwise, if they would have kept bombing, the predictions are they would have kept bombing the Royal Air Forces, and within another 2 weeks, they would have destroyed the whole Royal Air Force, and they would have taken over all of England. Because one pilot dropped bombs on London. That's not a good game of chess. Everybody say there's no good game of chess. And Rashi can do anything he wants. I can't predict anything. I don't know what's going to be. But we're reading what we have in front of us. We need Mashiach. We need the clarity of Torah. And we need to daven for it, and we need to work to be zeicher, to do the schuyas that we need to be zeicher that. Which is zeicher b'es Hashem, that this manam of evil, shimenebach, to sauce on the simple.